It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and all five of us said,
amen.
Amen. It is. And trust me, God has not given up on this church. He reaffirmed that several times last Sunday to me. And I didn't say anything out loud, but he did. He said, I have not forgotten you. So let's just keep buckling down and do what God wants us to do, and he will break it all open when he's ready. So I was going to talk a little bit today, kind of mark everything, because this is a small, I forgot my magnifying thing. Yeah. My kids were so sweet to give me a Bible, but they didn't get large print. They got me this magnifying thing, and it's hard to see out of that. We're going to talk about five ways God has appointed you. First of all is his provision. You know, sometimes we think that God just doesn't care about us, or we don't have a reason for being here. But in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Okay. Now I've got to have this. That's so ridiculous. It's so hard to do, too. And, okay. And God's able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. So that's one of the ways he appointed you. The next thing is peace, and that's in John. And that is John 19:27. And it said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a spongy full of the sour wine on a hyssop, is that what you call it, branch, and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received that sour wine, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That was the last thing that he said before he died. So he gave us eternal life. So that is eternal peace for us. Now our production that we should be having is in Galatians, of course. Pastor knows it by heart, but we're going to go ahead and go over here. Come on. Here it is. All right. This is production. This is what we should be doing. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we can't provoke each other. Now we're going to talk a little bit about passion that he's given you. It's in Ecclesiastes here. Okay. And that's 33:14. There's 33. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to them, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? It is not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth. So, in other words, he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That is a compassionate Jesus. Okay, and now we talked about the presence. What was the other one? That was that. Okay. So I guess that's five of them. All right. I want to talk a little bit about blasphemy. You know, we talk about that. It's the only sin that is not forgiven. And you say, well, if I'm a Christian, shouldn't I be saved? Shouldn't I have eternal life? But blasphemy is an act of ignorance towards the Holy Spirit. That means you mock it. That means you mock Jesus. That means you make fun. That means you say terrible things about the Holy Spirit, make fun of the Holy Spirit, make fun of Jesus, deny him in front of people, and make him look terrible in front of people. That's the only thing that we cannot be forgiven for, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I know I've seen different movies and knowing they're in the Ga'ashadayana and start talking like they're in tongues and stuff. You can't do that. You cannot. Yes, tongues are real. They are real. It's a more of a prayer intimacy with me and God. But tongues are real. They're in the Bible. It is real. But if you're out making fun or mocking the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven. However, if you are a Christian, you would not want to do that anyway.
No.
That's not in you to do that. But I've had several people ask me, well, why wouldn't you ever go to heaven? Well, number one, you got to get saved, give your life to God. Number two, you can't be mocking Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You can't cut them down. You can't act ignorant with them. You can't belittle them, anything. So, in other words, we have to be so in tune with Jesus that we do his will. He will give you all the peace that you need. He will give you all the provisions that you need. If he gives you a task to do, he's going to give you things that will help you do your task. He's not just going to go, okay, Brenda, I want you to go ahead and go down to this church down here and testify and give your testimony. He is going to make provisions and steps that, okay, Brenda, we're opening this door. Okay, I'm going to talk to this pastor. Okay, this is what's happening. I'm going to go there and do my testimony. He's not going to leave you out there by yourself. He's making a way for us to be his disciples. Now, if you are not out there trying to give the gospel, praying for people, teaching people about God, there's something wrong. That's what we're here for. We are here to praise God. We're here to speak the word. We're here to pray for people if they need it. We're here not to judge. Boy, I know I've judged in the past. I even heard a pastor one time. I really liked him until he said this. He said, we went out to California and we were on the beach and we wanted to rent something. I don't know if it was a jet ski or something. And he said, so the guy said, well, you need to leave your driver's license here and, you know, to take the jet ski. Well, this pastor said, I'm not leaving my driver's license. He said, that guy had tattoos all over him, and he, you know, had long hair and all this stuff, completely judging. You know, I wanted to say something so bad, but it wasn't my place because other people go to his church. But I thought, we have got to watch out what we're saying. We have got to watch out what comes out of our mouths. If it's not edifying, if it's not encouraging, don't say it. Now, if people ask for our advice, we certainly can give it to them. But don't talk down to them and make them feel less of a person or feel bad about themselves. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to, you know, lift each other up. That's what it's all about. This church may be small, but prayer is so powerful in this church. It's in the church. It's in the church body. It's within us. So we have a purpose here. If you feel like you do not have a purpose here, you need to read Jeremiah 29:11 and know that we have to keep being faithful. We have to keep being obedient. Hey, Mr. Jim, your braille is on the pew. We have to keep going on. We have to keep being obedient. Now, so many times we could be blessed, but if we gripe about it, oh, you know what I had to do today? I had to do so-and-so's laundry. You know, I used to, at the, we lived on Tradewind over there. I used to do laundry for a couple that when, well, he was in a wheelchair. He could only use everything with like a little baton out of his mouth. He couldn't talk, but he would use that to spill things and all that. And his mom had given him, while she was pregnant, his mom had given him something that they used to use for nausea a long time ago. I can't think of the name, but it deformed him. But, you know, it didn't bother him. He was, and his wife was very crippled and in a wheelchair. I mean, it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't. Now, take it. I don't want y'all going in and looking like you're beat down and you have raggedy clothes. We can help you with clothes or whatever. I'm just saying, you know, somebody that was in this body, they're not, they don't go here anymore. They went, you know, I don't think you should wear makeup and I don't think you should do this and that. And I said, you know what? The only thing that I do is I try to look pretty for Jesus. I don't want to look ugly for Jesus. I want to look pretty for Jesus. I want to put on a smile. I want to feel good about myself. And I want to go and teach the word. We need to disciple. We need to do that. And if we're not doing it, why is God going to bless us with anybody else? If we're not stepping out of our box that's so comfortable, why are we still in the boxes? Does anybody have anything to say?
I don't know if this is related, but a few weeks ago, I was going somewhere and my rides were messed up, and so I called and talked to this one individual, and they were able to straighten it out. But at the end of the call, she says, "You ought to be grateful that you have anything," and that's considered unprofessional.
Well, and it's hurt feelings, too.
Yeah.
You know, I would have said, I'm amazed at everything that you're doing. You know, why would people want to tell us that we should be grateful for? The only thing we need to be grateful for is God, because every day He protects us. Have you ever been wanting to go someplace and you end up being late? Or have you left early when you thought, I don't know why I'm leaving so early? God's provision is probably protecting you. You could have been in a wreck. Something could have happened to you. You know, we're not, we always think, oh my gosh, this, you know, my life is so crazy and I can't slow down. I got to do this and do that. Before you get in your vehicle, pray for protection over your car to and from. Now, I'm not saying pray protection and then I go 80, 90 miles an hour and do what I want. We're not ignorant people here. We're very intellectual people. Some are more intellectual than others. I consider myself a little lower than average, but that's as far as we're going to talk about that. We have to be in God's will. That's the main thing, is being in God's will. Are you in God's will? Because if you're not, and you're not a Christian, you're not going to go to heaven. Now, the time is getting closer and closer. You see so many people. I mean, I go on this reunion site on my school. I don't know if y'all do that or not. There are so many people from my class that have already passed on. I mean, it's amazing. And I think, Lord, why am I still here? Well, you have a purpose and plan. Nobody is unworthy. Nobody is less than anybody else. Nobody is more pompous than anybody else. We are all here. We are Christians. We are supposed to be the bride of Jesus. That's why we're not married in heaven. He's coming back for His bride. So let's think back over the week. Was there anything I said? Maybe I judged somebody. Maybe I hurt someone's feelings. Maybe I acted real short with them and I shouldn't have. Maybe I should have done more. Is there anything that the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us, and we'll talk about it, for we still have a few minutes. This is so important because God wants us to grow, but He also wants us to be more mature in Christ. We need to be more Jesus-like. We're older now. Oh my gosh, I'm the oldest. And you know, I still want a full life. I still want to talk to people about God and what He's done for me and how He healed my knee one time. Miraculously healed my knee. I could walk on it. I used it. It was a complete miracle. And I told Don Whitmore when I got here, and he didn't like that at all. But we are a full-fledged, I believe the word, God's word. If we pray and you're healed, amen. If we pray and you're not healed, amen. We're going to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying until something happens. And that's how we have to look at it. You have got to have an intimacy with the Lord. And you've got to do it every day. I mean, when your child was little, it's not like, okay, I'm going to sit you over there and I'll see you later. You want to have a relationship with that child. You want to show him how much you love him. God loves you. You go, well, Chris, I feel useless. I feel ugly. I feel like there's just nothing going on in my life. I feel like he doesn't need me. You know, you may have bitterness. You may have hurt. You may have felt rejected. What all these things are is we keep pushing them down and pushing them down and pushing them down till finally David would always say, oh, you're getting the file cabinet out and you're going to pull out what I did 10 years ago. Yeah, that's kind of how I did it. You know, I would let things build up and build up. And then if we had an argument, I would go, well, you know what you did, so-and-so, so-and-so. Go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're pulling out the file cabinet and the folder and doing what I... Well, that was a long time ago. You have to forgive each other. Yeah, we're going to mess up. We're going to say things to each other. We're going to cut each other down. We're going to wish that we could choke each other. I mean, we're human, okay? But God requires our obedience. And through that, through our sin, we have to ask God to forgive us of our sin. You have to be right with God. That's what He was telling me. He has given us every tool that we need. We should be like construction workers. We've got our tool belts on, and we've got peace, and we've got compassion, and we've got fruit of the Spirit, and we've got our armor on, and we're ready to go to this war. We are ready to go out. So you have got to start being obedient. That's what it is. You have to be obedient. What does that mean? Not breaking all the laws in the Old Testament? We should try to keep those. But in the old days, you broke laws, you may have faced death. The Old Testament has great laws, rules. But when we break them, we have a God that died on the cross for us and rose that third day so we can be what? Forgiven. That is amazing. He loved us that much that He died for our senseless sins. The senseless things that we do every day. Every day. I guarantee everyone in here, we have sinned probably 3 or 4 times a day already. We have got to start asking God for forgiveness. We have to start telling ourselves inside, God, help me to forgive my boyfriend. Help me to forgive my mother. Help me to forgive my father. Help me to forgive you, God, for things that happen that I feel bad about. But if it doesn't feel like it, I'm still going to say it because I know, God, you're truthful and you're here with me. So help me to forgive them through your eyes. And so you open up my heart so one day I really can forgive you. I struggle with forgiving my mother because the enemy will so move sniggedly put things in there that reminds me of things that she said and did to me. And I go, oh. You know, and I think, no, I've got to forgive her. You know, I've got to forgive her. She didn't like you? Okay. She loved you, but she didn't like you. She would say awful things. You know, I was so rejected from her. I never was good enough for her. I wasn't rich enough. I wasn't thin enough. I didn't have monetary things. I didn't have a nice hat. You know, the list could go on. But I never met her, whatever she had on me. See, we can't have expectations on people. Why? They're going to let you down. So the expectations she had on me, that's between her and God now, not me. I forgive her because something may have been going on in her life at the time, and she was just frustrated and aggravated, and I was just, you know, the God in me, she may have, you know, fought against the, let the enemy take over and do things. I don't know why she did, but I fight that constantly, but I say, you know what, I forgive her, God, I forgive her for the terrible things she did to me. I forgive her. Do I feel it all the time? No, I don't. No, it hurts when you've been rejected and you've been put down and made like you're worthless. It's hard to get over that. But with God, I can. God gives me peace because He loves me. He loves me. He has given me everything I need. And you know what? He's given you all everything you need. So before you say something to someone, before you get aggravated with someone, before you get frustrated, before you lose your cool in the traffic, before you, I know people hate traffic, but at least you weren't in that accident that's up there that's causing it. When you get in traffic, take that time to turn on Christian music, to pray, go, God, who do I need to pray for right now? Don't get frustrated. Let people in front of you if they need to. Don't get mad if they don't let you in. I'm just thinking of all these things that go on that we don't realize that we sin. You know, just, you stupid guy won't let me in. That was rude or whatever. We've got to be disciples of God. And that means trying to do what God wants us to, being obedient. And it's hard, people. It's hard. I've been a Christian 40-something, 42, 43 years. Y'all have probably been longer than me. And it's hard. It's still hard for me not to sin because I'm human. And sometimes I just choose to do it because I'm down or something happened or someone said something that upset me. So then I start justifying why I feel bad. We cannot justify all of that. People are going to let you down. You're going to feel like your pastor let you down because he didn't come over and pray for you. Or he didn't say, hi, it's so good to see you today. Mm-hmm. Or hug you. Or, you know, Deborah, you may be upset with her because she didn't say hi to you today. She didn't confide with you in something. Or you may be upset with Jim because he didn't laugh at your jokes today. You know, we're all going to let each other down. We usually laugh at your jokes, Jim. I'm kidding. But I'm just saying, y'all, we all are going to let each other down. I'm going to say stupid stuff sometimes that you think, you know, you shouldn't have opened your mouth. And that's one thing that I'm learning. Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Don't say anything. If it's not edifying, if it's not nice, just don't say it. Just pray. Count to 10. Jump on your head, whatever it takes. We got to start controlling our tongue. It can cut somebody down to the quick and make them feel terrible. And if you've ever felt that way, I'm sorry. I have empathy for you. I understand. But, you know, we just do the things that we think are right most of the time, and lots of times they're not. But we've just got to keep trying. We've got to keep trying. We're all in this boat, just a paddling and a paddling. And each of us have an oar. So we've got to do it together. And we've got to keep building this body, and it's going to happen. But we've got to become disciples. Number one, you've got to make sure that you've taken Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because things can happen so quickly. It can happen in a blink of an eye. What if something happened to me and I died? Do I know for sure I'm going to heaven? Do I know that? Do I believe that Jesus died for me and resurrected on the third day? Do I believe that? Do I believe this Bible and everything He tells me? Do I read my Bible? Some of us don't even read our Bible. Some of us don't even pray. I'm not pointing anybody out because I don't know about your personal life. But God has appointed Larry Thacker, our pastor, to flock these sheep here. And we need to be lifting him up. If we're getting targeted by the enemy, think what he's getting. And he's taking care of somebody on top of that. That's hard to do. We all know that. It's hard to take care of people. Because we get frustrated. We get tired. We want our own time, our own space. So pray for your pastor. Pray for Miss Linda. Pray for Don of all the things he's going through. And he may get agitated at times and frustrated, but he's fighting for his life. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know when he's going to get a kidney. He doesn't know what's going to happen in the future. And that right there can make you crazy in your head. So when he acts, starts acting, whatever, you know, get up and walk out of the room. Go to another place. Go start breaking out in prayer. That really shuts them up. I don't know if it was Don or not, but if words are said, just go, you know what? You're crossing the line here, and I'm going to pray for you. If Dee Dee gets on your nerves, if BJ, she's so sweet. I'm so glad I met her. Whatever it is, Jim, if the kids get on your nerves, if the house gets on, whatever it is.
I get in my car and go driving.
Well, that may be a bad mistake for you.
I'm not sure that'd be the best thing to do.
I just hope I'm not on the street. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, we all have pain in here. Jim lost his wife.
Y'all come to Carl.
Jim lost his wife. Jim fights cellulitis.
Yep.
Has a lot of things going on. Deborah has a stepdad that did terrible things to her. But she's still loving and kind to this person. What? I'm amazed. I'm amazed, Deborah. I'm amazed at your forgiveness. You are such a good example. You have such a good testimony. Well, I can't believe God saying, okay, be quiet. All right, this is it. Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the church body. We're claiming today 6929 Day Street is holy ground for you. Holy Spirit, please come. We want you. You are invited to be here. You are so welcome to do whatever it is that we need to do today. Please bless the singing. May we get into a praise atmosphere so it will be so sweet to your ears, sweet Jesus. Please be with the pastor as he delivers the message. Please, God, help us to know that you do things for us all the time. Let us have a grateful heart. Let us quit cutting each other down. Let us love one another like you love us and like you love the church. So, God, we give our church to you, Bartimaeus Baptist, and we give it to you, Lord. We hand it to you. We lay it at your feet. Whatever it is you want from this church body, from this church, or what you want this church body to do, we are open and willing to listen and to hear your voice and to do it and be obedient. Father God, as we're being faithful and obedient, please give us the power and the motivation to keep going, to keep going, to keep fighting, not giving up. Father, I just pray for each person here. I know each of us have something that's going on in our lives that's not fun. But Lord, whatever lessons you're teaching us, whatever perseverance we're going through, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you love me. And let everybody know how much you love them today. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.